Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out at dawn to hire workers for the vineyard. After reaching an agreement with them for the usual daily wage, the owner sent them out into the vineyard. About mid-morning, the owner came out and saw others standing around the marketplace without work, and said to them, "You, go along to my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is fair." At that, they left. Around noon, and again at the mid-afternoon, the owner came out and did the same. Finally, going out late in the afternoon, the owner found still others standing around, and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" "No one has hired us," they replied. The owner said, "You, go into my vineyard too." When evening came, the owner said to the overseer, "Call the workers and give them their pay, but begin with the last group and end with the first." When those hired late in the afternoon came up, they received a full day's pay. And when the first group appeared, they assumed they would get more. Yet they all received the same daily wage. Thereupon they complained to the owner, "The last group did only an hour's worth of work, but you put them on the same basis as those who worked a full day in the scorching heat." "My friends," said the owner to those who voiced this complaint, "I do you no injustice. You agreed on the usual wage, didn't you? Take your pay and go home. I intend to give this worker who was hired last the same pay as you. I'm free to do as I please with my money, aren't I? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Here ends the reading for this day. Thanks be to God. Last summer, I sat around a table in our community hall with folks from both churches, and we dreamed up and strategized what God might be calling us to reflect upon in worship for the next 6 months. We were looking at these 5 weeks that we're in right now that started with Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday and is going all the way up until Lent, which is starting very soon. And we felt like it was time for us to focus on the world that we want to be living in. In this last year, so many have faced setbacks and violence and tragedy, and the world is looking less and less like the beloved community that we are striving to co-create. So we picked a familiar hymn that we sang earlier called "Oh for a World" to be our theme, because it speaks about a world where goods are shared and outcasts belong, and a place where God's peace and love becomes our lived reality. So as we sat around that table in the community hall, we thought about the vulnerable. We thought about the times and circumstances in our lives that do need more protection and equality and justice. And we thought about this theme for today, workers' rights. It's one area in society that we thought we could focus on in our worship theme. When I lived in Berkeley, California, during seminary, there was a certain street that I would pass by once in a while, and at first I was real confused about what was going on there. But then every single time I would drive down that same street, I'd see the same thing, and so I began to learn what was happening. There was about, 10 to 15 men on all four corners of the street. And I learned that you could hire these men for an hourly wage to do hard labor. And so if you were a seminary student moving and you had no friends or family to help you move into your new apartment, you could go and pick up two strong men, and they would come with you and unload your moving truck and pivot your couch up three flights of stairs, and then you would drop them back off on the same corner, and hopefully someone would come to hire them for more hours for the rest of the day, and they could make their pay in that way. And so this theme came to mind when I was reading this Jesus parable this week, because it seems that some practices from 2,000 years ago still are current for us today. For many years, readers have been interpreting this text in a variety of ways, but one way is to see that the landowner, the estate owner, is the character of God. And God is not necessarily giving out daily wages, but those daily wages are represented as salvation or eternal life. Those who worked all day long were those who were faithful to God for many years. Maybe they grew up in a community that was practicing faithfulness to God. And these people in the story are disgruntled when they find out that the ones who only became faithful at the last minute of their life, or the last year of their life, those people are going to get the same reward as those who lived many, many years doing good works. In this interpretation, it's as if Jesus is telling his listeners, who happen to be the disciples, there are no front row seats or upgraded hotel rooms available in heaven. The status of equality is shared unequivocally by all who arrive into eternity. In Jesus' time, the disciples were Jews who had been following Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, and then there were Gentile followers, people who were not Jews, that learned about this Jesus movement and way of life a little bit later. And Jesus, it seems, was sent into the world to create a ministry that would be a place where misery was relieved and a place where equality is achieved, and not some kind of hierarchical structure where some people have more status and more dignity and more wages and more respect, and certainly not based upon who has been there longer. The same is available to newcomers as well. I noticed that one's view of this parable, this story, could change drastically based upon where you're going to see yourself in the story. So if you imagine yourself to be the latecomer, arriving at the end of the workday, most likely you're going to be very grateful for the generosity of the landowner. But if you happen to be the all-day worker, then jealousy and greed might come into play. Maybe you would struggle and begrudge someone who receives the same amount that you are going to receive for a lesser amount of work. That's unless you're just a really good person who's non-competitive and that you're happy when others' needs are met. Some readers of this text noticed that the story is not necessarily based on the landowner's needs, but is based on the worker's needs. The owner hired the workers that she needed for the vineyard early in the morning. So her estate's needs could have been taken care of by whoever she hired early in the morning at dawn. But later she goes out and she sees more people standing around the marketplace, and they have no opportunity to work. No one is hiring them. She goes out several other times, and each time she hires every single person that is in need of work. She doesn't do that because she has needs to be fulfilled, but she does it because of the needs of the workers. The ones who were employed for only 1 hour still needed to pay 100% of the cost that it would be to feed their family. It's not like they only needed to pay 10% of their bills because they were only able to work 10% of the day. Jesus seems to be saying that God's kingdom is not a wage-centered economy, but a living being-centered one. Last Wednesday, myself and Donna Compton attended a prayer vigil that was organized by our sister church, Mayflower Congregational Church, organized by Reverend Lori Waukee and Robin Myers. And this happened at the site of an unmarked ICE office, and ICE stands for Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. There were some undocumented friends who had been receiving letters in the mail telling them to report to this address, but it was an unmarked office, and we're not quite sure what's happening behind these doors. So following are the words that the organizers of this vigil sent out that's now going to be happening every single Wednesday for 15 minutes from 12 to 12:15 at this unmarked ICE location. So this is how they described it. Our immigration system is broken. More than that, it is fundamentally unjust, rooted in racism and fear of the stranger. The current political climate increasingly threatens the well-being of our neighbors who are undocumented. The growing number of arrests and deportations are breaking up families, and the uncertainty surrounding DACA is putting the dreams of students at risk. Heightened ICE activity is pushing vulnerable populations further into the shadows, increasing crime in our neighborhoods and eroding trust in our communities. Nothing will change if we remain silent. Our faith calls us to rebuke the rising fear of and discrimination against immigrants, to stand beside our neighbors who are undocumented, and to work to change the system. Our theological response is rooted in the belief that all of us are made in the image of God, which our children taught us this morning, which makes it impossible for any of us to be illegal. Moreover, the call to offer welcome to the stranger is found in all faith expressions. Our goal is to provide consistent witness and support for our neighbors who are undocumented and to put those in authority on notice that the faith community is watching. There's a man by the name of Clarence Jordan of Koinonia Farms, and he describes Jesus' parables in this way. I just love the way he describes them. He says this: whenever Jesus told a parable, he lit a stick of dynamite and covered it with a story. Jesus' parables have a way of breaking open and exploding our perspectives on social issues. I couldn't help but see the direct link between the prayer vigil that I attended on Wednesday and this Jesus parable. Several dozen of us stood there on site on Wednesday. We were from different churches and different faith traditions and different community organizations, and we were all people who cared about the economic and physical and emotional fate of our neighbors. And we are standing up and asking that those who have come to this country at the last hour of the day should be able to have the same opportunities as those who arrived much earlier in the day. I'm not saying that the United States is the equivalent to heaven in this parable, but in some very important ways, many who would face extreme hardship or even death in their countries of origin are much safer here. Each person needs the opportunity to be able to earn a living wage or to have their basic needs met. And our God is a very generous God who cares about our well-being and fulfillment, so shouldn't we care about the well-being and fulfillment of our neighbors as well? When I sat down to write this sermon, I thought it was mostly going to be about the origin of Labor Day, about the fundamental rights that all workers should have, like the elimination of discrimination in the workplace and the elimination of forced labor and child labor and the right to a living wage and a safe work environment. But it's also essential to acknowledge the importance and contribution to our society that persons who are not able to work for a living provide. So many crucial services like our very own food pantry and the Sisu Youth Homeless Shelter in our basement and many other vital assistances are provided by many persons, some of which are not able to work for a living. We have retirees who volunteer in these places. We have persons with disabilities who are unable to work long hours or for other reasons, and even children and teenagers who lend a helping hand by volunteering. And all of these provide important work here in our community. And the contemporary reading that Michael read for us from Pope Francis speaks to the rich personal growth that work, both paid and volunteer, adds to our lives. It's fulfilling to stand back and look at a job well done. In our parable today, we learn of the importance for all to have the opportunity to contribute in whichever way they are able and to not be treated less than because their opportunity to contribute may have come later than others. So may we continue to meditate upon this parable and see what new perspectives Jesus may break open for us. Amen.